This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Caroline Lynn and Ezra on the Evening Edition have been taking a look at the story about how the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development have proposed that all ministries undergo a gender sensitization course. And of course, with this particular issue, it's actually a long-standing issue within Parliament. Back in 2009, political analyst James Chin wrote about how attempts to fight sexism in Parliament would prove futile. So, in fact, we've got James on the line right now for his comments. James, thank you very much for being with us on the program. Talk to us about why you held that position back then.
Well, I think if you look at Malaysia 10 years ago, the political culture then was very, very different. In those days, UMNO were very, very strong, and the whole government was really dominated by the ruling party, UMNO. And within UMNO and PAS especially, you had a very strong political culture that sort of looks at female population in Malaysia as second-class citizens.
Right. And what do you think about how that is now? Do you think that sexism will continue to be entrenched in Parliament?
I think there are elements of that today as well. But today we're looking at what we call New Malaysia because of the change in regime back in May. So I think what you have now is that you have a group of highly determined women, mostly from the opposition side, who are now in government. And I think they're very, very strong on the issue of gender equality. I think people like Hannah Yeo, the Deputy Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Aziza, I think they're very, very strong in the opinion that we really have to deal with this issue in a more serious way, unlike during the UMNO administration when this was largely seen as a non-issue. I think moving forward, we can expect them to push for probably certain legislation dealing with gender equality. But the core problem is that we are not electing enough members of the female community into leadership positions. As many of your listeners know, Pakatan Harapan actually said that one of their main targets, if they achieve government, was to have at least 30% of women in Malaysia holding leadership positions, including in Parliament. But if you look at Parliament today, the figure is only about 15%. So they're way, way behind in their push put more women into leadership positions. I think it's crucial that women do get into leadership positions because that will really change the dynamics between male and females in Malaysia. And this is really the heart of the issue of gender equality in Malaysia.
Right. James, do you think that gender sensitization as a program is a good stopgap measure in the meantime?
Yes, of course. The more training that we provide to the population, the better it is. The sort of training we're talking about is really, you know, very similar to the sort of training we deal with cultural diversity. This sort of thing has been done in the West for many, many years. This is really the first step in a long fight for gender equality in Malaysia. But I think what the government is doing is really right. They're sort of putting this on the political agenda. And there are, like I said earlier, there are very strong women pushing for this. So I think it's all good.
All right. Thanks, James, for weighing in on the issue. That was Professor James Chin, a political analyst and director at the Asia Institute Tasmania, with his thoughts on whether sexist behaviour will prevail in Parliament.
We also wanted to get a more personal perspective. So let's cross over to Kasturi Patu, the second term MP for Batu Kawan. Kasturi, thank you for taking the time from Dewan Rakyat to speak with us. We're, of course, familiar with some of the sexist comments that have been made in Parliament in the past. But what has your experience been like?
In 2015, I had the inverted commas pleasure of being labelled pondan in the Dewan Rakyat by the Member of Parliament of Baling. This was because in one of my speeches, I did not give way to him to interject due to time constraint. And because of that, he threw this sexist remark at me. Needless to say, I had raised point of order at that time, urging the speaker to make a decision, to make a ruling, to ask this Member of Parliament from Baling to apologize and retract. Now, don't forget that he is actually a repeat offender. In the past, he had also called other members of Parliament using derogatory remarks, making sexist remarks against female MPs. So this is my personal experience. Apart from that, almost on a day-to-day basis, sometimes you get called names. In my first sitting in 2013, I was actually called pendek by some of the male MPs from Barisan Nasional at that time. Every time I spoke up to interject or to give a speech, I would be called pendek and asked to sit down. So these are the kind of challenges that not just me, but many of the other female MPs also have to endure in the Dewan Rakyat.
Right. So on top of the overt, the obviously sexist and crass comments, are there other, I guess, more subtle ways in which sexist behaviour happens in Parliament?
Yes. Sometimes we face situations where on more official events and official programmes where there's a lot of protocol, some of the newer staffs or the assisting staffs are brought in from different departments who are not familiar with the MPs in the Dewan Rakyat tend to think that some of us who are the female MPs are actually wives to male MPs. So sometimes they tell us, oh, if you're a guest, you have to use this door. And we say, no, we are MPs. And they look very shocked and a bit guilty. And then they say, oh, we're very sorry, Yang Berhormat. You can please, you know, go in. So these are the kind of little things that we had faced in the past. It's getting better, but we have a long way to go.
Right. And YB, on that note, how have Speakers of Parliament generally dealt with these sexist comments?
Okay, so as we all know, the Speaker of the House must be the one to control the behaviour of the members of Parliament in the Dewan Rakyat. Apart from that, we all have our own decorum that we need to hold to. Now, what I have observed in the past, a lack of stern action on the part of the then Speaker had allowed more members of Parliament, particularly those from the Barisan Nasional, to get away with murder, meaning that when you don't reprimand MPs on the spot with a stern action, you know, making them apologise, retracting their statement, or even to the extent of ejecting them from the Dewan Rakyat, from the House, it sends a message that you can say things like this and get away with it. That is why the Member of Parliament for Pasir Salat, if you remember last term, he uttered also a sexist remark against Teresa Kok. That one was a clear-cut offensive, intended dirty remark against Teresa, and we had actually compelled, pushed the Speaker to make a ruling on that, and a lot of us cited various point of orders from the point of order book that we have, and yet he said, no, his intention was not there to say, after all, it is the surname of the Member of Parliament. So when you have such a lax attitude towards this kind of language, then you allow potty-mouthed MPs to get away with it.
And of course, there is this push to get women into power or women into politics involved in that sense. How can the women who are in politics play a role in addressing sexist behaviours in Parliament?
I think the best way to do it is first, to name and shame. Second, obviously, through gender sensitization. Now, I've spoken about this for 5 years in the Dewan Rakyat. I'm always, you know, including this point in my speech that, for example, Batu Kawan is in Penang, and in Penang, the Penang Women Development Corporation has done a lot of gender sensitization courses to educate the public on gender equality and what it means for a woman to be in the workplace, you know, where she stands in the workplace, how a woman should be spoken to, treated and respected. So I've actually offered many times in the Dewan Rakyat for all these men from Barisan Nasional who don't have any experience, who are not gender sensitized, please, PWDC can conduct a training for all of y'all, and we will be able to educate y'all on being gender sensitive. It's about time
now. All right, Kasturi. Now, before I let you go, we were wondering about the scope. Can you perhaps walk us through what you think a session on gender sensitization should entail?
See, what happens now is because of a lot of cultural and societal expectation of women, a lot of men tend to think this is how women should be treated or this is how women should be placed or put. When I speak about gender sensitization, it is for women from all walks of life, from different various backgrounds. For example, here in Parliament, you know, when we spoke about the need to have a baby creche or a need to have room for mothers to breastfeed, there was actually a hue and cry in Parliament. Some MPs, even from Barisan Nasional at that time, saying Parliament is not a place for children, and therefore what are children doing here? Not understanding that it is very sensitive and it is an issue that women face, you know, and many women suffer in silence for that. So these kind of issues, for example, must be conveyed to the members of parliament, particularly male MPs from both sides. And this is one of the things that I would like to see, or rather things I would like to speak about on gender sensitization. Now, apart from just making lewd remarks and sexist remarks and things like this, so obviously this is something that not only Pakatan Harapan women MPs need to be doing. Of course, I call upon all female MPs from both sides, from Barisan Nasional and also from Pakatan, including the Bebas female MPs as well, to join in together to educate our male MPs on why it is important for us to respect women MPs here in the Dewan Rakyat.
Well, Kasturi, thank you very much for joining us on the Evening Edition and for sharing those insights. That was YB Kasturi Patu, MP for Batu Kaun, sharing her perspective on sexist behaviour in Dewan Rakyat. Talk back, the lines are open, 03-77-109-000. What should gender sensitization entail? Do you think it will work? Call us.
And for men who are listening, are you on board with the idea of gender sensitization? Why or why not? If someone were to show up in your office today and say, let's do it, how would you feel?
Yeah. I think for women, do you think there are a lot of men who could benefit from gender sensitization programs as well?
Oh boy. Mm. The number to call again is 03-77-109-000. You can also, of course, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet at BFM Radio.
BFM 89.9.
Bombing frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
It's Caroline, Lynn and Ezra on the Evening Edition. We've been talking about gender sensitization courses and, you know, in hopes to curb discrimination. And, you know, we've heard from a variety of folks. And we want to hear from you about what you think about it. 03-77-109-000 on the phone lines. We've got Shamlina. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, Shamlina. Hello. What are your thoughts?
Okay, so I think my opinion is we need to bring this into practice. So, like for example, I know many MNC companies practice this, where D&I, diversity and inclusiveness, is very important, but it's just lacking in our government. And I really hope that our current government could actually bring this. What YB Kasturi was mentioning earlier was good. I think I hope this comes into power, because it really brings a lot of difference. Because naming people in any meetings and bringing down or belittling someone is not really acceptable. So I'm totally against it. I'm very happy that I work for an organization that this women equal rights, and of course D&I is what they practice, but I really want to see this being practiced here in Malaysia more.
Right.
I just, because it's quite difficult to understand, if companies can actually emphasize this, but why not our own government? Be it before, or I think now what they need to focus on is to really bring this into practice.
And Shamlina, have you had the opportunity to undergo any such training or attend one?
Oh yeah, we do. Actually, in where I work, the men are also encouraged to attend, and we have like a group to encourage female leaders, and we have mentors that we can look back at or can go to if we do face any such issues. So I think it's something that we should bring into practice. I mean, we are a developed country; we are moving towards a better nation, right? So these are things that we need to straighten up first. And it's a bit shame to hear that this is happening in the parliament. If that is happening in parliament, what it will bring to other smaller companies, or what will happen to other ladies, right? What is their equal rights, right? Mm-hmm.
Shamlina, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us. We're going to move on to our next caller. Jess is on the line. Hi there.
Okay, oh, no.
They're moving on to our next caller. Press is on the line. Hi, Press.
Hey, hi. Good evening, guys.
Good evening. How are you?
Hi, fine. Thank you. Well, touching on the topic, we'll start it off with the orthopedic Klang Valley doctor thingy, right? Issue, and everyone's being sent for this gender sensitization course. Well, specifically, I don't think so. We should just target the orthopedic consultants. I mean, like, a lot of them are HODs for that fact, from any department. I don't think so. That's right.
Right. Continue.
But it should be. I mean, like, it should be something that everyone should realize. And it's, as a mature adult, I think something like that shouldn't be going on. But then again, it does happen. And it's been happening. It's just that maybe in the recent, you know, with the recent events that have happened, maybe it's come more to light and people are addressing it, I think, through the right way. And it should be, you know, it should be looked as a much more sinister thing that has been going on for a very long time, rather than, you know, just addressing it at the moment.
Yeah.
So as a whole, I think it's good that it's come to light, and I think it shouldn't be constrained to just one specific spot, you know.
Yep, absolutely, Press. Thank you very much for calling in and sharing your thoughts with us. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.